black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. We're going to be talking to Chris. And Chris actually comes to us from Canada. He was out on a canoeing trip with his brother, and they came across a very strange-looking bear. At least he thought it was a bear until it stood up and walked off like a man. And also some very strange vocals that night. They were sitting around the fire. Something was definitely screaming at them. And then we're going to be talking to Kathy. And Kathy had in a very recent encounter here in Washington State a very similar type situation. She wasn't canoeing, but she was driving. And she came up on what she thought was a bear until it stood up like a man and walked off. Very, very fascinating accounts. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Chris to the show. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. And I know your encounter happened around the late 90s up there in Canada. If you would, just kind of start from the beginning. Kind of tell us what you were doing and walk us into what happened, if you would.
Yeah, sure. My brother and I, we planned a 10-day camping trip, which, canoe camping, and probably one of the top hot spots to go to as far as getting into places where not a whole lot of people go to would be up around the Temagami area of Ontario, Canada. And this took place. Yeah, I think we set off on August 29th. We hit Mowat Landing, a place called Mowat Landing. And from there, we just followed the river down to a lake called Lady Avalon Lake, where we basically found our first campsite. And really easy, no portaging or anything like that. And set up camp that night, and everything was fine. Everything was perfect the way that a camping trip is supposed to be. With the exception of one thing that, I do recall would be calm winds, nice weather. But as we're setting up camp, we hear a great big tree crash. And that was it. No wind was blowing, but all we hear is a big loud thump, like a tree came down and smashed in the woods. Now, it could have been nothing. Could have just been a rotten tree or something that just gave way, and we didn't think anything of it. So, anyways, off we went. The next day, made breakfast, had our coffees, and started paddling away. And we made it down to the main portion of Lady Evelyn Lake. I think our first campsite would be around there's like these little islands, I guess, if you will. We call them Eskers up here. That's what they were called. Spent another night there. Nothing, no problem at all. We started traveling down towards what was known as the Narrows. I'm just pulling up on the map. Obasiga Narrows or something like that. We're traveling along here, and there's like a gently sloping, I guess, granite rock leading out to the water. And we're just, my brother and I were just paddling away, and I'm in the rear, he's in the front, and I look over to my left, and I point out to my brother, and I said, "Hey, Mike, look, at there's a bear right there, you know, drinking water out of the lake." So we both look over, and I don't know, it was just acting weird, and it didn't even look at us. It just turned around, started walking on all fours, made about 5 or 6 steps on all fours, and then stood up like just like a guy, like just like a man, and, you know, just walked nonchalantly into the woods. This guy was like dressed all in black, which was kind of out of the place up there for me, because I thought it was a black bear at first. And there's no campsites along that area. And I just thought it was really weird. But, you know, we said, that's really weird. Like, why is this guy dressed all in black? Like, from head to toe, like, he's wearing a balaclava. He's probably wearing black gloves, wearing black socks, shoes, and everything. So we just thought it was just some guy out camping. But we didn't see any campsites up there. And so we just, you know, dismissed it as a, you know, a bear encounter, or, you know, or a bear sighting.
Yeah.
That's the way it was originally. So that was the first incident, but we didn't think about anything. We just sort of, you know, sloughed it off as just a bear encounter. And it wasn't until our main destination, I guess the Midway, I wouldn't say Midway, but it was definitely on the way, was we were going to go and ditch the canoe at a place called Tupper Lake and hike up on this mountain here, because it's supposed to offer a pretty good view. And there's an old ranger tower, like a fire tower up on top. You can go and check things out. You should get some good pictures of the area. And it was a hot, it was still hot, like summer. Get up there to Tupper Lake, ditch the canoe. We start on that trail and start the incline. And the one thing I do remember is we forgot to fill up the water bottles before we went, like using our little water purification pumps. I'm running out of water halfway there.
Yeah.
And having to, try and purify some water out of one of the swamps along the way. But, we eventually made it up there. And, we set up camp and everything. And, night fell, had a fire going, nothing out of the ordinary. And, it wasn't, like I said, September the 2nd. Because I know we're starting to get news on our little transistor radio indicating about that Swiss Air disaster that crashed outside of Peggy's Cove. And I remember that quite vividly. And shortly after that, it might have been after around 11, maybe 12, maybe 1 o'clock. I don't know exactly what time. But we just heard some awful screams out towards directly off our west side of that ridge. And like, we're at the top of the ridge, and these screams were coming directly west, not on the mountain, but almost like down below off the edge of the mountain. I couldn't tell you how far it was, but man, it was loud. Unbelievable, though.
And what did you guys do next?
We both stood up and looked in that direction, and we're saying, like, what the hell was that? We had no clue what the hell that was. The first screen that came out, and it said, it's probably just a lynx or something like that. But it just sounded so deep, almost like a lion's roar, if you will, like very guttural, if you will.
How long did the screens go on for?
Probably at least 15, 20 minutes, at least. So, and that was it. And everything just quieted down and like, yeah, it was like, what the hell was that? What was that all about?
Yeah. And I would imagine you've been out there, out in the woods. You talked about canoeing and everything. I'm sure you've heard a lot out there. And you guys were out there for, you know, sounds like almost a week. Was there anything online that you would compare the screams to?
Yeah, I was. Now, the one thing that piqued my interest and I started checking things out was the grouse hunter and his family. That sort of video that's on YouTube and Facebook that sort of went viral, where you heard a lot of these screaming going on out in the background. That was one that piqued my interest. It sounded similar, not quite. So I was just like surfing around, and I believe it was another video. I'm trying to, it's a national park down in, I think it was Illinois, I think, or something like that. I'm just trying to pull it up, try and tell you which one it was. The closest one that came to that was the Shawnee National Forest, you know, like vocalization. If you check that out on YouTube, you'd be able to find it. But that's definitely the closest thing to what we heard.
Let me see if I can pull it up here for the audience listening. Here we go. You're saying it was like that, Chris? That's what you heard when you were out there?
Yeah, pretty much exactly like that, with the exception of with the first scream. Like the first scream you hear on that recording didn't exactly sound like that, but anything after that first initial scream, everything else was pretty much identical. But the only difference is much more bassy and very guttural, if you will.
Yeah, I'm curious about this quote-unquote bear. How far away from you was the same drinking out of the lake or the stream?
I was just thinking about that today, and today at the shop where I was working, it's a pretty large shop, and I would have to say 250 yards at least. And we have one tall guy, and I see him walking around the back, and he's already like 6'5", and I know this guy was that we seen walking along that shoreline, stand up in 2 feet. He must have been at least that, if not bigger.
And I know you weren't really into Bigfoot at the time, and I hear that from a lot of hunters. They'll say, "Let me tell you about this weird bear. I saw, mm-hmm. And it never sounds like a bear." What made you think it wasn't a bear?
As soon as he stood up and started walking, it's like, that ain't no bear. And my brother said the same thing too. I've done a lot of hunting. We baited barrels, for bear hunters, for guided hunts. I've been charged by bears during turkey hunting season. And, you definitely see a bear. There's no mane. There's no snout or anything on it at all. So when it stood up, and I couldn't, it just didn't look lanky like a bear. It was looked more human, more than anything.
Yeah. Plus when a bear gets up on two legs, it always reminds me of like the circus or,
sort of like hopping.
They don't.
This one was swinging his arms just like nobody's business. Right. So I just thought it was weird. And I remember this, and it's like a photographic movie in my mind. I remember this as if it was yesterday.
When it was drinking out of the stream, was it using any of its hands, or did it just have its head down?
You know, we're just coming up on it, and I can see his hands like scooping water out or anything like that. It just looked like its head was down, and then it just sort of scooted around and started walking on all fours, like scooting up. And I said, man, hey, look at that bear. That's right when, yeah, it did like four or five steps, and then boom, it was up, walking on 2 feet, and then straight into the bush. And there's no campsites there, so we discounted that as a camper, because let's say up in these areas, you can find a campsite pretty good just by looking at the shoreline, because most of the campers will break off some of the, some of the twigs off the cedar trees and everything, start fires, and you can see right in, and you could see that where a campsite is just by, the past, the presence of other campers that were there in the past. And this was just like straight bush,
And then hearing it, and then hearing it that night, or hearing something that night, do you and your brother, was it your brother, Chris?
Yeah, it was my brother.
Do you and your brother ever still talk about it?
Yeah, that was funny. I was just talking to my girlfriend about it, and she's probably the only, she's like the second person I told, but I mentioned to her tonight, the other night, that, hey, I talked to my brother about last year, asked him, hey, you want to do another trip up to Maple Mountain again? But this time, maybe bring my son. And he said, nope. That's it. We haven't talked about that experience at all since that experience, back in 98. So, we didn't talk about it. Back in those days, we didn't have cell phones, to take pictures of them or video or anything like that. So, nobody would believe us. So, nobody even talked about it, right? Until now, we have, if not hundreds, if not thousands of people talking about it now.
Yeah, it is kind of nice that way you kind of at least know what you might have seen that day, because it's so bizarre to see these things pop up from all fours. And I could see from a distance why someone would go, oh, that's a bear, until they get up and start walking around like a man. What do you think that these things are, Chris?
I have no idea. Maybe some sort of hybrid of some sort. You got me. They must have. When we came across it, we had a big silver Grumman aluminum canoe, and it just acted like we weren't even there. He sort of got up and didn't even look like he even seen us. And he just kept on going about his business. Usually if you come across a camper or something like that, flick up a hand and say, hey, how you doing? Like the courteous wave or something like that. Nothing like that. He just went straight and right into the bush, and that was it. We didn't see him again after that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating account, and I think most people, I would rather have seen one at the distance you saw one, not that they can't close, in my opinion, they can close that distance pretty quick, but the fact that it just got up and walked off, and that is fascinating. And then hearing the vocals at night, that is something about being in the dark and hearing something scream or roar at you and not really knowing what, that's not a coyote. That's not a wolf. That's not a, cause you do that when you're out there in those moments, you start going through the Rolodex as far as what could this thing be? And
well, Wes, I can tell you one thing. I haven't forgotten in my memory banks, what I seen, and I haven't forgotten what I heard. And when I came across that one video, hearing those vocalizations, I'm going, man, that's the closest thing to whatever I heard screaming back there. That's one I can tell you for a fact, that you don't forget these things when you hear them screaming. So,
yeah, that's for sure.
There's nothing out there that screams like them. I've heard tigers roar. I'm just outside of Hamilton, and there's Lion Safari, probably about 4 kilometers from where I hunt. It's about a big 500-acre parcel. And I'm sitting in a tree stand. I can hear these things, roaring from 4 kilometers away. It's that deep and guttural. It's much like what we heard that night. Discounting the actual lion's roar, but it sounded pretty much, like that crazy howling of some sort. But yeah, definitely these things had to have been big, whatever is making that noise. Whether it be one, two, I don't know, but that's all we heard.
Be interesting to have your brother hear that audio and see what he thinks, but he kind of sounds like he doesn't really want to talk about it.
We haven't talked about it since that time. I said, hey, you want to go up to Tomogamy again and check that place out again? And he just basically said, no, we still haven't talked about it. So I'll hit him up again and it says, hey, what do you think about this? I'll send him that clip and see what he says, but I don't know. Maybe we can get him on again. I don't know, but.
No, I hear you. Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing it, Chris. I love hearing all the encounters, you know, and not every encounter is violent. And for the longest time, I got accused of only putting violent encounters on the air. But a lot of people who get up close and personal with them, it does become aggressive. May not become violent. Sometimes it does, but it becomes aggressive. And I think when you're at a distance like what you're talking about, you know, it was doing its thing. You guys didn't really... I think maybe how you react, I think, is how they react sometimes.
That's what I was thinking, too. And I played that in my mind a lot, too, is because, like, when we heard that screaming and stuff going off, we basically stood up by the fire and we got to the highest point and was looking off that peak towards the west and looking as far as we can. And we're like, what the hell is that? And we're standing there and we ain't going nowhere because up on that peak, you have to climb up a ladder to get up to here. Otherwise, it's an extra long trail that you have to go down in the dark to the bug out of that area. I'm thinking, yeah, let's try and hunker down here for the night and hopefully this thing goes away. And after about 20 minutes, it just sort of died down and, like, I don't know, it was weird. I don't know. It definitely sounded like it was trying to scare you off or getting angry that you're in their area or something like that. I have no idea. And, you know, that's why I called in. Maybe I might get some answers either from you or other callers in the future. I don't know. But like I said, maybe this might, you know, open up some eyes in some other people that went canoeing up here in the Tomogamy area might call in too. Maybe they might have had a similar experience to that. Especially camping on that Maple Mountain.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to ask you, the other question I want to ask you is, the screaming, did it come from the general direction from where you first saw this thing?
No, we basically started pretty much from the east, and we worked our way out to Maple Mountain, which is directly west of where we ended up. And from where we seen this thing, I'm trying to remember where we seen this thing, there were some water bodies in between, so I don't know how you would have scooted around the back end of that mountain, but who knows? I don't know. We've seen them on, like, a south shore. We usually hugged around the north shore, and that's basically where we ended up. We sent him on the south, and we have basically hugged the north shore all the way along our canoe route so we can find our, you know, portages and stuff like that.
I gotcha. Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating encounter. Really appreciate you coming on.
That's about it. And as far as that encounter goes, but other than that, I was listening to another episode from where these guys were out there looking for these things. I don't know why, but but they seen like there was talk about orbs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, the lights. Yeah,
these little round things there. Now, I encountered that a few years later, not out camping, but I was in the process of heading up north. My kids were already up north. I was still living in the city, and they're up at the other place out north. And, I was just basically taking out the garbage and, you know, about to hit the highway and, you know, join them for Christmas. And living out fairly close to the airport, I seen this light coming out of the sky. It didn't seem any different than anything. And then next thing you know, it came down. It was about the size of a basketball. And it was like a bluish color of some sort. And the best way to describe it was it's sort of like when you have your TV off and you have nothing but fuzz going on, like snow.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looked like. Blue tint. It's wintertime. It's not shedding off any light, just like these other guys were telling you in this other podcast you ran. And I said, man, that I already guessed what they're going to describe before they even said what it was. And these things were heading towards a grove of pine trees, and it zigzagged its way through the pine trees as if it knew where it was going and disappeared out of sight.
How big would you say it was, Chris? How big do you think that light was? Like a soccer ball, baseball, bigger, smaller?
It was about the size of a basketball, just like those other guys. Beach ball, basketball, about that exact same size. Still to this day, no clue what the hell that is. You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
But the descriptions are pretty much similar to what I heard on your podcast. And it's like, okay, this is getting too weird. I have no explanation for it. So,
yeah, I'm always curious how many people see the lights. I mean, you're up in Canada and you're seeing them. I've had reports of them in the UK. I've heard of reports of them in Australia. And I don't know what they are. I really don't. You know, you can go down the religious route, you can go down, but at the end of the day, no one really knows what these balls of light are.
We don't know.
Yeah. And people run into them here in the US a lot. A lot of people run into them and they don't really seem to hurt anyone. They just seem to, it's just weird. And they fly around and, it's a weird light. I like your static, description. It is kind of like that when you look at them, and they don't make any noise, and it's just bizarre. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a spaceship. It's too small, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can tell you, the thing floated right by me, probably about 15, 20 feet. That's why that's the exact distance from where it was for me, at least 15 feet. And when it came down, I was like, what the heck was that? And I had two garbage bags I was going to set out by the curb and dropped them off and just dropped them into my hands and just sat there and watched this thing float by me. I was like, wasn't scared, wasn't anything. You're just bewildered. It's like, what is this thing? So,
yeah, it is kind of like that. I wouldn't really say you get any sort of, at least for me, when I saw the lights, you don't really get any sort of, not really fear. It's just confusion on what is that?
Yeah, pretty much. It's, you don't know what they were. Initially, I thought it was a plane coming into the airport with their landing lights on. And then next thing you know, it just, you know, it slowly dove down and it's almost like chest level and passed me right by. So I had no idea what that was.
And was that the only time you ever saw the lights?
That was the only time I seen this little blue thing like float by me and through the pine trees and zigzag through that and off it went. And that was the only time I seen something like that. Unexplainable. No idea. But I think because I heard that in the podcast that from your past guest, I'm going, what's the connection here? What's going on? You know?
I mean, I hate to say connection. I use the word coincidence. There is a, and you could say connection, I guess. The people that have these things on their property, they always see the lights. I think I've had one guy that said he hadn't seen the lights yet, but I'm telling you, thousands of people I've talked to, a lot of people have seen these lights, and I just don't know what they are. But I appreciate you sharing it, Chris, especially the light encounter, and hopefully more people will come forward in Canada with regard to, I know there's more that goes on in Canada. A lot of the Canadians don't come on though. They'll email me and they don't want to come on for some reason. But, you know, I think there's a lot of encounters going on in Canada with Sasquatch. And I think there's probably a lot of encounters going on with these lights, and hopefully more people will come forward, but I appreciate you coming forward, Chris. Thank you very much.
I appreciate coming on and just telling you my experience. It wasn't that scary, but it was scary enough for us that one night. So,
no, I can imagine. Thanks for coming on, Chris.
No worries. Thank you.
And I want to thank the sponsor of the show, Duke Cannon. Love their stuff. I actually do use their stuff. I use the big ass brick of soap, and the bourbon solid cologne are my favorites. Duke Cannon prides itself in making its grooming goods work as hard as you do. And the other cool thing about the company is a portion of the proceeds actually goes towards veterans and active military. It's a very cool company. They have very cool products. Duke Cannon is a champion of builders, farmers, soldiers, teachers, first responders, and even podcasters. And they want to make you feel right at home in Duke Cannon country. American-made grooming goods designed to help you feel, look, and smell just a little bit better in 2020. And for a limited time, they're offering the Moderate Self-Improvement Box. It's usually $84. Now it's $50 for a limited time. And it's not a subscription. It's a one-time purchase. You get your bourbon solid cologne, as I talked about, that comes in there. Big ass brick of soap junior comes in there. Working man's face wash comes in there. Bloody knuckles hand repair balm is in there. There's a lot of really cool stuff that comes in this moderate self-improvement box. And for $50, it's a steal. This is a one-time offer, not a subscription box. It's just $50 with free shipping to the lower 48 states. All of their products have been tested by active duty military, and 5% of the net profits are donated to causes benefiting veterans and active duty military. Very cool company. Visit DukeCannon.com and use the promo code Sasquatch for 15% off your entire order. That's DukeCannon.com. And don't forget to use the promo code Sasquatch to get 15% off your entire order. Well, next up on the show, I want to welcome Kathy. Kathy, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Wes, for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being here. And I know you spend a lot of time in the woods and, you know, most of I was really surprised because when we were talking the other day, you knew a lot of areas that most people don't know. But you recently had an encounter back in it was the beginning of this month, wasn't it, Kathy?
Yeah, January 4th.
Let me ask you, before we go into the encounter, what did you think of the topic of Sasquatch prior to all of this?
At first, long time ago when I saw the Gimlin Patterson film, I actually thought they were real. And then everybody started disputing it. And so then I thought, well, maybe it's not real. And then I've actually been in the woods for many years and have never come across any kind of sign or sound or anything, you know, relating to that. And then I've lived up here in the Northwest for quite a while where they do say they have a lot of sightings. So, you know, I wasn't convinced, let's put it that way.
Well, if you would kind of walk us into your encounter, I know it happened in Washington State. If you would kind of tell us what you were doing and walk us into what happened.
Okay. So a lot of times after work, I'll go up and go into the woods and just drive around. It's just really nice to drive in the woods and I enjoy it. So, I was up, it is up by Willard, Washington, and the Gifford Pinchot Forest starts off the 66 road, and it's only probably about 5 miles where it starts out. So I'm pretty close to coming up across north side on the Columbia River. And so I was up there driving around, and then I was coming back around 5 p.m. And it was kind of rainy that day. And so I come through Willard, the little town, and then you go down Willard Road, which isn't very far, a few miles. So I come around the last right-hand corner of Willard Road, and it's a little hard to see. It was getting dark, and I'm in a very heavy canopy. So in that heavy canopy, I just thought, I'm just going to slow down a little bit in case, you know, it's the time when deer or elk come running out and I just, you know, just putting through. I was in no hurry. So I'm driving down. It's very dark in this canopy on Willard Road. You come around the last right-hand corner and you'll look down and you'll see Cook Underwood Road, which is kind of lit up because, you know, it's brighter out there and darker in the canopy. But it was dark enough to where I couldn't see really well. And so I come around that corner and I see this black object in the road. And of course, right away, I think it's a bear. And it's very black and very big. And I thought, that's the largest bear I've ever seen. That bear's huge. And it looked like its butt was up in the air. But then, and I figured, you know, I've seen some pretty big bears, maybe probably 300-pound bear. This one almost to me just looked like a 600-pound bear. It was huge. So I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden, these, whatever it is, which I said, when I told you, it looked mechanical. It looked like something going along up and down, and they were all black. And I thought, what is that? I go, I've never seen a bear do that. And then I thought, it looks like maybe it's deer, maybe it's some elk in there, and they're running all around in the road, but it's just right in front of me. So I'm like, I'm looking at it, and as I get closer, all of a sudden, it pops up on the bank, and I'm in my car by myself, and I just yell out, I just yell, it's a man. What's a man doing here in the woods? And the headlights actually lit it up, and on the end, with the light coming out of the Cook Underwood Road, it silhouetted it also, so it was pretty lit up. So I'm sitting there looking at this as it popped up, and its right leg was on the bank. Left arm was back. You could see its head. You could see the whole body. You could see everything. There was no snout. There were no ears like a bear. There was the actually the conical head they talk about. Its legs, I remember, were bulky, and its arms were long, and actually the hand was kind of pointed backwards. And as I approached it and came up to it, it just went right into the woods and was gone. So I drove down to the end of the road, about 600 feet, I said, and I thought to myself, what did I just see? I was trying to figure out what I saw. The thing that really stuck out to me was that I actually yelled out, it's a man. You could tell. I mean, it was not a man, but that's what you thought it was when it popped up. So I know when I went down there that what it was doing is it was crawling. It was like crawling on the road. And it was just, I was almost the full size. It was the full side of the left lane. But as I approached it, when it got up, it was just popped up in the air really fast. And it was not... there was nothing else in the road, nothing there, but this Sasquatch, which I never really thought I would ever see. But the thing was, is I know when I said it was a man, there was no hat, there was no coat, there was nothing on it. And the actual fur on this, well, it was lit up, it kind of looked silver, but I don't know if it was or not. And it wasn't like super long hair either. And it was very tall. Probably what I would think from stories or the Patterson film, it wasn't quite as bulky as that one. I went back the next day on Sunday to see if there were any prints. There were no prints because it had rained all night. And actually, I didn't even really want to get out and walk back in those woods because it was still hard for me to really think about what I saw.
Yeah, I would imagine. I think most people go through that. And you and I've talked about the history, your history out here in the Pacific Northwest. And I know you've spent a lot of time in the woods and seeing this thing. When it was down on all fours, you mentioned it popping up.
Yeah.
Did it get up off all fours like a man, or did it just pop up?
It just popped up. It was doing that little mechanical walk thing, and then all of a sudden, as I came up on it, it was boom, popped, like just popped right up, and the leg was on the bank. It didn't even like pull itself. It was just up, and I think basically maybe because I was coming up on it, but it crawled, or however it does, crawled across the road. The whole time when I saw it, it was crawling on the road until it got to that edge. Then it popped up.
And when you mention mechanical, what do you mean by that? Are you talking about when it was on all fours or when it got up on two legs?
When it was on all fours. It looked, you could see And now I think it was its arms and legs. You could see something going up and down on both ends, like the front and the back. And you could see the motion up and down. I don't know how, you know, they crawl or what they do, but that's what it looked like to me. And that's what was confusing, was these things, these limbs are, you know, they almost look like stumps, basically going up and down. So it's flat on the bottom and these were going up and down. And I could tell that's what it was doing. And that's why I could not figure what it was until it popped up. And I have seen bear, you know, elk, I mean, all kinds crossing the road. And this, it was just so unusual. I knew it was in my head. I was saying, what is it doing? And that's why I thought maybe it was three deer or a couple elk or something different like that in the road, like they were running in circles or something. It was such a commotion. It's really hard to explain. But I knew that it was something different until when it popped up. Of course, at that very moment when I called it a man and I saw the whole thing, I knew what it was, but my head was going, you know, my mind was going, you can't, that isn't really what it is it? But it was.
I hear you. And it's funny how, not really funny, but I think our brains do that. You know, when we see something we're trying to make sense of, you know, it must be this, it must be that. I laughed when I read your email, and don't take that a bad way, but when you said, it's a man, I'd probably do the same thing. Did you tell anyone about this encounter?
I just told a couple people that I think, you know, think they might be real. And I kind of was stressed about it for several days. And then I just decided I'm not going to tell anybody, but then, you know, I kind of wanted to say what I saw, and because I know, you know, they're real. And then I wanted to more think about their habitat and their movement and what they do and those kind of things, because I'm still going to go out in the woods. And not that I go hiking off in the woods by myself, I don't do that, but knowing that they're there, it would just be good to know more about them and what they do, how they act. And I know they can be aggressive and those kind of things, but to actually see one is still somewhat hard to think that you really saw one unless you have that serious close encounter. But I did see it clearly. I didn't see the face because it stayed going through the woods. It stayed facing the woods and was just popped up and going into them. So it was like, you know, heading out. And this pretty steep country there. There's the river, the lower white salmon, and a lot of canyon area there. So, you know, I don't know. It looked like the way it came from was the canyon area and then came up and crossed the road and then, you know, headed up to, there's just mostly timber company land, and then it goes into the forest. So it's pretty wildernessy, you know, out there now. It's a lot of wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the Gifford is definitely notorious for sightings in Washington State. Absolutely notorious for sightings. And I mean, I've heard gray ones, I've heard white ones, I've heard black ones, brown ones, red ones. A lot of people run into it out there in the Gifford. Don't you find that behavior kind of strange? I mean, most of the time when you pull up in a car, and you come across like a bear or a cougar, generally they're going to bolt. They're going to get out of there as quickly as possible. And from your description, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of seemed like it was just moseying along. And then as you pulled up, it decided to stand up and walk off.
Absolutely. It did. That's really a great way to put it. Because now that I think about it, I would think, wouldn't, if it, you know, usually if it's a bear or something, they're gone. I mean, they're across that road and out of there. And it just, I could see it crawling across this road, and it didn't seem to affect it that much until I came right up on it. And I saw it for, you know, I don't know, a little bit. As I was driving, I slowed up more so I could look at it. And to me, it just seemed to be nonchalantly going across that road, not worried about it until I got up on it. And then it decided to pop up. I might not have really seen it clearly if it had not popped up. I'm not sure. You know, I might have seen it crawling up the bank, but once I got it got to the edge and there was a little embankment, probably about 3 feet, is that's when it popped up and then stepped on the bank and went into the forest. But it didn't seem to be, you know, charging across the road. And it was, we have a little winter weather now, but at that time there was only just a little bit of rain. It was fairly warm. It had not really come into winter yet, so it was very late in January. We should be in pretty good winter by then. And I have, you know, I don't know their patterns of where they go, but it could have been because we had light weather this time of year that it was lower. You know, I mean, I don't know any of those things, but yeah, it seems like it was just nonchalantly crawling across, or however they do it, across the road.
Have you been back to that area? Have you gone back down that road?
Oh, yeah. I've been back there several times. Yeah, I've been back there. It's very different to me now, but yeah, I still go back there. I mean, I don't go out in the woods by myself. And so, you know, I just kind of drive around the woods a little bit. But I've been back there several times and probably will again because it's very close. And I still like going up there. And the strange thing was, though, because I know I've heard about them, you know, seen pictures and stuff or drawings. But at the time when it was crossing the road, Sasquatch or Bigfoot did not even cross my mind, which is so strange because, well, I guess because my mind was just trying to figure out what it was and what it was doing. And that was not something that I even thought I would see that night.
Yeah. And I understand that. I understand that completely. I think most people go through that, you know, where your first thought for whatever reason isn't Bigfoot. It's more or less, what is that? You know, what am I looking at? And I bet you're on the lookout driving down that road now.
Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, I've seen, you know, lots of bears. And if I see a bear, honestly, I'm not going to go, oh, I think I'm going to see that bear again. If I have seen like bobcats frequent in area. I've seen one bobcat here and then be there again and be there again, but I've never really seen a bear do that. And my thought is, well, you know, it's on its way and heading out, but I don't even know how, you know, what their habitat is, how far they travel or what they do. But yeah, I think honestly, if they frequent an area, they may, you know, go there again. That's just me and looking at wildlife, but
yeah, I would agree with you. I think that they do travel the same area a lot of times. They may take a different path, but generally speaking, they're in an area for a certain period of time. And I'm speculating. I can just tell you from you and I were talking the other day, and I was telling you about the gray one that's seen down by the Columbia River. And then as it gets hotter, it's seen more toward, you know, summertime comes, it's seen more towards Mount St. Helens where it's a lot cooler. And the only reason why I know this particular one's being seen so often is because he has a scar on his chest. He's gray and he has a scar on his chest. Everyone always talks about the scar on his chest, but it seems like he travels some weird circular motion. And that's just me speculating, but in different areas, people report seeing him, and certain times of the year, it kind of makes sense to be up more towards Mount St. Helens as it gets hot down here, you know, in the valley, he would retreat up there. And that's just me, again, my opinion on it.
That seems a natural way of animals to travel, you know. Yeah. Especially something like that. If they can travel so fast, I mean, they can really probably cover some ground, and it probably doesn't take them that long to get to one end to the other. These are steep hills over there. I mean, steep. But, you know, I could imagine it would be easy for it to walk up. Where it went into a reprod, and then right behind at the bank, at the end at the bank on the hill, it's a super steep hill going up there. But, I mean, I don't know where they went, but...
Yeah, and I don't think...
And if there's more than one, I mean, do they go in more than in a group, or... I only saw one, you know, that night. There could have been more, but I only saw the one.
I would agree with you. I think when they go up in elevation that they, you know, for us, it would take us a lot longer than them.
Yeah.
And out here in the Pacific Northwest, you can climb elevation pretty quickly, like you're talking about with those canyons and, you know, what we call hills, most people around the country call mountains, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think that these things are, Kathy? What's your personal opinion?
From what I saw, and I did not have the, you know, face-to-face encounter that some people do or the vocalization. I just saw the road crossing. I think, you know, they are just some kind of primate. The way that it showed itself to me would be just like a bear or any other animal. I mean, it was out probably hunting or doing whatever, come across the road, and then it's heading out to the woods. But I don't know that much about them, but just the visual of it, it's just, and I did not see the face. So, you know, I know some people talk about the face, but just from what I saw, you know, to me, it looked just like a primate mammal or something like that.
Yeah, and that's a fair answer. That's a fair answer. Yeah. I think most people who come run into them, like what you're talking about, they'll talk about them being, you know, any other wild animal they've run into. Sometimes you get weird stuff on people's property that they talk about. And even that is, for the most part, consistent. But I think your average person that runs into them is just seeing a wild animal, you know. And I know you're a new listener to the show. There's no wrong answer to that question because no one really knows, you know what I mean? Despite what some people will tell you, no one really knows.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, you know, it could be something. I mean, it's got to be the way that it's built and being upright and walking and being so large. I mean, I would think, you know, it would have the maybe larger brain or something and think more. But from what I saw, it looked just like a tall, upright, slim, I wouldn't even say a gorilla, but a primate for sure. And very tall and bulky, but not the huge bulky ones that, you know, somebody else may see, or like the Patterson film. It wasn't that bulky as that one.
So it was a little bit more slimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little slimmer, but really tall and big. It was big though. I mean, I'm not saying it was not small, but.
Yeah, I mean, and you'll run into that too. You'll run into people who run into King Kong, and then you'll talk to people, and they'll talk about running into like a tall basketball player, still a very large man. Large on man scale, it would be bigger than most men. But yeah, that's fascinating. If you're ever down that road again and you see anything, will you let me know?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, I'll be up there again. I mean, I kind of doubt that I'll see one again, but if I ever do, then yeah, I will let you know.
And I really appreciate you coming on, Kathy, taking the time to share the encounter. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you again.
All right. Thanks, Wes. Appreciate it.
And that's it for tonight. Everyone, remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance to check out sasquatchchronicles.com, you can become a member and get additional shows. Until next time, everyone. Sleep.
Sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and wagering week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.